30 Town 104.5 The Zone. What up, people? Tomorrow we hit Hendersonville, and we're gonna wash it all away.
I'm gonna see if we can get Savage to come.
Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean,
I'm pick him up.
He's the governor of Hendersonville.
He is. I'm calling some state high school football with Savagery.
Yes, you are, Babsy.
You get the 6A game, dude.
I'm doing sidelines for the 6A game. I'm doing play-by-play for the 2A game.
Listen, I'm not trying to move past Hendersonville because I love them and I love their quarterback and Mr. Manning and all that. But Summit and Oakland,
oh,
look the heck
that's
out.
That's going to be a ball. Yeah, that's going to be, hey. Oh, something got to give. That's power on power right there. You know what I got to put my money on?
Who?
I'm going to wait.
Okay.
But I got one, I think.
There you go.
This is why Slate is just like perfect radio, because a lot of times he'll say stuff without even thinking.
I think I got one.
By the way, for those wondering who won the rematch of Team Doherty and Team Slay, Tullahoma got past Pearl Cone. Pearl Cone had an unbelievable season, and they've got a great football team. It's tough when your only losses are to one team.
Yeah.
Like the Jaguars that year the Titans went to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't know, because I don't want to.
Say, are you going to say anything today?
I may not. What's going on?
I may not. Because I listen. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you one thing. Man, you got to fight
for your right to party.
At all costs. So at UT, 99 and 2000, we were back to back Playboy party school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Number one party school in the nation. Yeah, back to back years. So you're right, Babs. You do got to fight for your right to party. And that's what we did. And we lived up to that, too. Like, it was just parties going on for no reason. That ain't really what I wanted to say, but it was something like that.
Did you have a recruiting trip at one of those things?
No, I was there.
Oh, you're already there.
Yeah.
It was so you contributed.
Like on a Monday.
You contributed to the high ranking.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they just start living up to it, like, on Sundays. It's just people just out keg parties. It was wild. That was what's up.
When we were there, I lived in Reese Hall. Reese Hall now is a female dorm. Back then, it was a male dorm.
Yeah,
we were on the sixth floor, and it's a dry campus. My dudes down the hall brought a keg up the elevator. I don't know how cameras all over the place.
Yeah,
but they got it up there. They dressed it up like on Esther or something. I don't know.
A watermelon.
They dressed it up as something. They had a keg at the end of the hall all night. Had a keg party. You know what these idiots did?
Left it there.
I'm going to Franfischilla this. These idiots. What are you doing? She's bent under the table.
I was digging for my fin.
These idiots, once the keg was tapped, they picked it up and threw it out the window.
What?
Window wasn't open.
Oh.
Oh, they were fried. Now, that's beyond Fred right
I
there.
Was so far away from that place.
What? I just see that was just nuts. There's always something nuts going on. That's why it's a dry campus. They don't want stuff like that going on.
Okay.
So you're saying Fred Fischilla was right?
He was right about the 6'4 Reese Hall back in the 90s. I'll tell you that. What else happened over the weekend? College football notes. Alabama outscored Arkansas. That was an awesome game. 42-35. Bryce Young, 31-40. 559 through the air. 5 touchdowns, no picks. They've got Auburn this weekend, Babs.
Iron Bowl.
Yay.
I already said Alabama's not covering this thing.
I will bet with you Alabama does cover this thing.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Auburn's in a bad place right now.
This is a confident, but it's a lot more.
You lost your starting quarterback.
These two are a lot more confident than they were at the beginning of the season.
Aha.
Sarcastic font.
Yes.
Okay. You guys lose.
What?
You going to talk about rosters in Tennessee?
30-plus guys.
Lose your starting quarterback and then talk to us.
We did.
We lost everything.
Joe Milton was the starting quarterback. We lost him.
Come everything. On. Give me a break.
Y'all didn't lose 30-plus players. Y'all didn't lose 30 starters to other schools.
I will take other schools' 30 starters over some of the starters we have.
Yeah, we lost
it. It was 10 starters, 28 players. But
we lost 30 starters.
I'll take some other people's 28 players.
Come on.
We did.
Especially at the wide receiver position.
There's only 22 starters.
You know how many people play on the field?
I'm talking about scrimmages and everything.
Huh? Like, at that, I'm like, do you know how many people play football?
No, it ain't about that, Babs. It ain't about that. We picked 5.5 games.
Boy, Jeremy Pruitt was really bad. Seven. He was starting 30 people.
That's what the problem was at. It lagged right
that
now.
Might have happened once in a while.
I'm telling you. They ran out there. What was the Alabama game?
Hey, yeah. Derek Dooley had 14 on the field one time.
I'm saying. See?
Remember that?
Yes.
That was the LSU game.
That was the LSU game.
Yeah, it was.
Goal line stand.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to stop everybody.
They stopped them, too.
How are there that many players on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, it's real.
Oregon went down hard at 23 Utah. Felt good for Dr. Dyson on that one. 38-3. I didn't feel good for my bank book there. Ohio State blasted Michigan State 56-7.
God, that was a
I told y'all for a couple of weeks. That's the second best team in the country. There's no debate.
Did he already sign his extension? Or was just offered?
He better hope so.
Does Ryan Day look weird to y'all? Like, you know those Keith Hernandez commercials, your beard is weird, and they put the black stuff in their beard?
It looks dark.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, next time you see him.
His eyebrows and beard and hair and everything.
He's a really dark facial hair dude. Yeah.
Like it's dyed?
That's what it.
It looks like it? Yeah. If it's not, it's that program will give you gray hair. Yeah.
If it's not, it's very impressive. Cincinnati blew out SMU. You're going to see them. 48-14.
And actually, it should have been 48-0.
Yeah, that was trash.
It was trash 14, exactly right. And I'm about to see them this weekend.
SMU Tulsa.
And they might actually not even have their head coach because rumors are Sonny Dykes is going to get the TCU job.
They need 30 players.
You can play wide receiver for the Titans and coach SMU.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell of a weekend there, Babs.
About where we all are, right?
Wake Forest got blasted by Clemson, 48-27. Wake's lost 2 out of 3 after the 8-0 start. Mm-hmm. And then C.J. Stroud, by the way, I mentioned Ohio State, 393 and 6 touchdowns in the first half.
Sheesh.
Against a top-10 team. Texas lost again. Slay, they've lost 6 in a row.
No bowl for them.
Up.
Florida going to get a bowl?
Beat FSU?
Yeah, they're favored by 2 points.
No.
I'm doubting it, too. I ain't going to bet on it, but I doubt it.
No, I wouldn't.
There's a bowl in that locker room's future, just not the one y'all are thinking about.
By the way, how about your guy Drink just walking all over somebody's grave after that game? He didn't know it at the time. He was just trolling. But he pulls out the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Put the hood on.
It was Dan Mullen.
If y'all missed it, last year was they played on Halloween, and Dan Mullen came out to his post-game presser dressed as Darth Vader. So it was a – but here's the deal with Drink. And I told you guys day one from that Tennessee-Missouri game, his second game as the head coach at Missouri, I said, watch out. This guy has swagger. Mm-hmm. He don't give a you know what.
It's not like he's got a 10-win team. He don't care.
They're bowl eligible, though.
Yep, they're bowl
eligible.
That
was their 6th win. I mean, does that not surprise you? That defense is dreadful.
A lot of people before the season picked them to finish 2nd in the East.
I did because of their
quarterback. Remember the Missouri-Kentucky game?
Yeah, I remember. I switched it.
The directional game. Like, the winner of that game would have the run toward second place.
I am actually surprised that their defense is as bad as they are. But anyway, so not only did Drink do that, that was, like, pre-planned.
Yep.
Like, he was confident enough that his team was going to go get the win, that he had the troll job pre-planned. That guy has swagger. He don't give a you-know-what.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dan Mullen, meanwhile,
That is great for the SEC because it's Missouri, and you need that there.
Better have something.
Dan Mullen is out. His statement was amazing.
Basically like, hey, did all of y'all forget what I've done here? What have you done for me lately?
That's basically
what it said.
When you use
the
Rosetta Stone with his statement, that's what you come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're now 2nd to last in the East. Yeah. Only Vanderbilt's behind them. Yeah.
That's crazy. Who'd have thunk it?
Credit to Vanderbilt, though, for making it a game at Ole Miss. They had the ball down 14. Driving to make it a 1-score game, and kid for Ole Miss made an unbelievable interception. So they went
one that bit.
They went plus 36.5 and the under.
And what's the Tennessee Vandy spread?
31.
They will take every one of those 31.
And what was the Tennessee South Florida spread?
28.5.
South Alabama.
We were spanking them up too. That's cool.
Yeah, so the Vandy-Tennessee spread's bigger.
Yeah, that's amazing. And South Alabama
shot at
coming without their quarterback.
No, it's not a shot at Vanderbilt, but it is a wow.
It is a wow. Moment, it is a wow for sure.
Salute to the Lady Vols and Coach Barnes and the Vols also handling business, spanking up them Tar Heels, and Vescovi.
You enjoyed that win over North Carolina for
every bit of it. And I enjoyed the ladies' Vols spanking up on Texas because Burrell was out also, one of their best players.
Right, Burrell.
Yeah, and Tamari Key picked up a triple-double, 18 rebounds, 10 points, 10 blocks.
I like the love for women's sports. That's what I'm,
man, they told them, man, get me a section in the boom, boom room and lock the door. And that's what they did, man. They put on the show. I like it. I like it, like it, like it a lot. Really good basketball, but let's do this football thing. Good basketball going on.
Yeah, we got lines loaded.
Well, and the voice of the Titans, Mike Key. So all of that coming up next, 3HL 104.5 The Zone. RHL 104.5 The Zone. Hunks is having fun with the music today.
What?
Is this what you're feeling Wednesday when you play your little Titans Patriots CGI game?
Look, everybody wants to make fun of me until what happens to me happens in the game. Then y'all realize maybe I'm a little bit more accurate with my simulations than you guys think.
There's a joke in there somewhere. All right.
Under pressure.
At Joe Honk on Twitter. Brett Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay talking through this Titans-Texans game. We welcome into the mix the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Mike, what's up? How are you?
How are you doing? I'm fine, thanks.
Good. I don't even know where to start.
Hey, honestly. Mike.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Ron.
Hey there, buddy.
Hello, Don.
I know where I want to start.
Where would you like to start?
I just want to know, Mike, when you're watching a game like this and it's unfolding the way it is, don't you sometimes get a feeling like this is one of them games, man. This is just going to be nothing going right when we needed to go right. And it's just kind of happening before our eyes.
100%. Yeah. You could feel it in the first drive when the Titans have 4th and 2 at the 35-yard line of the Texans. Yep. And they jump off sides and then have to punt.
Yeah.
And then the Texans go down the field and kick the field goal. And, you know, you throw the interception that's returned 82 yards. You know, when all of those things go in that direction, you start to have a sense that it's just not going to be your day. And, you know, when they got the ball back at 19-13 with a chance to, you know, potentially go win the game, your hope is that they can overcome that, and, you know, they just unfortunately didn't have it in them to go do that in the course of the ball game. I think what jumped out to me was when the punt hit the ankle of Chester Rogers, and the Texans recovered after you'd gotten them stopped, and the Texans recovered and then go in to make it 19-0. In essence, that point, your running game is out the window. Because you just don't have enough time. What the Texans had done well is they had made it a lesser possession game by, you know, a couple of long drives. And so you didn't know how much more you were going to get the ball. While you could hand off occasionally, you were basically going to have to drop back and throw. And that's not who the Titans are, especially when you didn't have A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Marcus Johnson, Jeff Swaim. I mean, that is a bad recipe for the Titans. And so, yeah, I mean, it was all going the wrong way at the start, and it just continued.
I thought Dontrell Hilliard looked good, Mike.
He did. He did a nice job. I think they may have found a little something there. And I think that could be your Darrington Evans role that they've wanted because Hilliard has that kind of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have wanted to have a faster guy who could do some of those things. You know, he's 200, 205 pounds. I mean, he's not a huge guy. But they've wanted to have a little more speed. A couple of his returns were pretty good. I thought that was sort of a bright spot that he was able to contribute the way he was. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to use him more going forward. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. They've got to make a decision on him based on the practice squad because he does not have another standard elevation without having to go back through waivers. So you've probably got to make a decision on him.
Mike, a lot of, I guess, mixed reactions to a Ryan Tannehill performance. And clearly there was some bad. I mean, a pouring game rain and he's throwing over 50 passes. That's not what you want, obviously. And that's not what his game and he's built for either. But my argument was look at kind of the supporting and surrounding cast. What was your take on what Ryan Tannehill and the way he operated the offense?
Well, certainly he had some throws he'd like to have back. Mm-hmm. And the throw that Grugier Hill had that he returned 82 yards, that was clearly not what he wanted.
Right.
But when you look at the number of plays and you see that Des Fitzpatrick played 64 plays, how many plays in practice do we think Des Fitzpatrick has actually had with Ryan Tannehill? Because this is a guy who was on the practice squad until 10 days ago, and he was not working as the number one wide receiver even in the last 10 days when he came up. And so for them to be on the same page, that's going to be a very difficult thing. Do I know that the interceptions were miscommunications? No, I don't. But can you suspect that maybe he doesn't have a little of that older guy savvy to know what Tannehill wants in that moment? Sure. So I think it's a contribution. I don't think it was four interceptions because the quarterback was awful. I think it was four interceptions because of the overall circumstances that Tannehill and the entire Titans team was forced into. And listen, if they get in that situation again this week where they have to drop back and throw every down against New England, it's going to be hard again. Because, again, at this moment, they're just not built to be that team. They've got to stay on track. They want to do play action things. They want to throw on time. Those are things that they want to do. Maybe earlier in the year with the cast of characters that we expected to have, they could do that. But not with these guys who have not been together very much. That's a hard thing to see.
Hey, you know what, Mike? I early on in this show, I was talking about Downey, and he should get some of the blame for this by not being able to adapt some of the plays maybe to what you have. But now listening to you talk, I'm thinking it's got to be hard to come up with a game plan if you don't even actually know who's going to be in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was saying maybe move the line of scrimmage, roll Tannehill out, let him use some of his athleticism. But you honestly don't know who you got going into it sometimes.
Well, to play.
Right,
and,
right.
And, I mean, so you're last week, too, you're preparing on Wednesday, and then Thursday you come in and Swaim and McNichols are not available because now they have concussion symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to make a plan on Monday and Tuesday. You think you know who you've got. And, I mean, Swaim's caught four passes in each of the three games before yesterday. I mean, he's 2 touchdown catches. Mm-hmm. So he's part of the attack. And then suddenly he's not there. He's been on the field a lot more than the other tight ends. McNichols is your third down back, a guy that you count on. And then you lose Johnson in the first half. And you lose A.J. Brown, you know, pretty quickly. He gets hurt early in the ball game, comes back, and then gets hurt again. Mm-hmm. And so now you're playing Westbrook Akina, who I thought did a good job again. I mean, he just keeps showing up. No. Chester Rogers is a capable guy. And I think Fitzpatrick, with some of the catches that he made with guys hanging on him, it's pretty good stuff. I think he's got potential, but you know, he's not ready to play 64 snaps. You don't think that based on his body of work from where he's come working his way back up from the practice squad. And you just had three guys. So you're out there trying to go fast. And if you're playing three wide receivers, you don't have any substitutions. It's a mess.
And that's the thing. I've heard Coach Mack say it. I've heard you say it. I've heard Coach Sale say it when we had him on. And this, I always say, like, man, they got down there in the red zone and they were really starting to target such and such. But the majority of the time, it's not them targeting them. It's the package that they have in and the play that they have in. They just happen to be in that spot. So
I think a lot of it to me sort of feels like you asked earlier, do you feel it? Mm-hmm. Like this is a day this is going to happen. Yesterday felt like just a lot of things caught up with the Titans.
Yeah.
The stress of all the games they've had, of playing 11 straight weeks, the injuries, as Coach Mack said, just running out of dudes. Yeah. You had a team that had been rested coming off their bye. They were ready to play. They grabbed the game from the outset. And so suddenly, for the first time in a long time, the Titans couldn't play on their own terms, which they have been able to do during this six-game win streak. They've been in games. They've been able to do what they do. And now all of a sudden, when it's 19-0, that is not who they are. You know, that's not what they're built for. And so all of the sudden, all of it kind of came crashing down. And I think that's what it felt like the whole day. It just felt like all of the things they've been battling through, and they've done a great job with the adversity. None of it in the tank in terms of luck, in terms of just anything that they needed to have happen to pull it off.
You know, it's funny too, when you talk about the defense, voice of the Titans, Mike Keith with us, no sacks, no explosive play, turnovers, but 107 yards passing on 24 attempts, 83 yards on 38 carries. That's pretty darn good. That's enough to get it done.
Yeah, it would have been, except that I think it's misleading in that they turned the offense off with 22 minutes to go. You know, a lot of those numbers were already in place with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. You know, they were 6 of their first 11 on third downs. They got the touchdowns in the red zone on the rollouts by Taylor getting in the end zone. I didn't think it was a particularly effective day, even though the statistics will say 420 to 190. And the turnovers are the difference. I mean, the Titans had only turned the ball over 2 times when it became 19-0. So, yeah, the turnovers are not good down the stretch. But in essence, Houston had already gained control of the game. I didn't think it was a good day for the defense. I think sometimes, you know, when you get a lead in those situations – kind of like what happened in our game with the Rams. What, we gained 198 in that game? But in essence, when we go up 21-6 and then 28-9, we're able to sort of do our thing and not take any chances. David Culley's smart at that moment. He's saying, listen, I don't want a bad play. And here's something that I keep up with, and it's the turnover sack ratio. And it's add up one team's turnovers and sacks and the other team's turnovers and sacks for their defense. The turnover to sack ratio yesterday was -7. The defense for the Texans had 2 sacks and 5 takeaways.
Right.
The Titans were 0-0 on defense.
But you know what's crazy about that? It's 19-13, as you pointed out earlier, before 2 of the pick. Like, so at that point,
right,
you've got 3 interceptions and 2 failed fourth conversions, and you're still driving the football with a chance to win.
You're in it. Yeah, so, you're in the ball game, and you know, David Culley played it. You know, he was playing to bunt the man over to try to get him in from second, so to speak. I mean, that's how he played the ball game, which turned out to be smart. And I think that was their only way to win. I mean, these two teams played 10 times. That might be the only one the Texans win, maybe 2. I think the Titans are better, but the Texans played almost a flawless game, and the Titans made several mistakes. And some mental mistakes at the same time, too.
Voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. We'll be listening tonight, the Mike Vrabel Show tonight.
Yep. Mike Vrabel Show tonight. Tweet the head coach your questions at Titans Radio. Bob Soshi's on from the New England Patriots. And, oh, by the way, they've only won 5 in a row, so yay. Glad we're going to Foxborough for post-Thanksgiving weekend. It'll
be
great.
Vaught, at least it's not snowing.
Yet.
It's like a high of 40. That's balmy.
Where are you going this weekend?
I'm going to Dallas to cover SMU, so at least it'll be warm there.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
Yeah.
You should do okay. Yeah.
It'll be like the first time in 7 years that I haven't worked that Vandy, Tennessee game. I'm not going to know what to do with myself.
There you go.
Yeah. Vaught with no comment there.
Who's SMU got?
Tulsa. So one coach might get fired, the other coach might leave. So yeah. We'll see.
You know who the voice of the Tulsa Golden Hurricane is? Bruce Howard, who used to – did you work with him, Brent, at WLAC years ago?
No, I didn't.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, he was on with Bob Bell and Charlie Mack at one point.
Oh, yep,
he
wow.
was here for years.
Oh, yep.
I'm going to have to reach out like that.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Vaught knows everybody, by the way.
Indeed.
There's somebody on my crew that's like, oh, you know Mike Keith? He's the best. I'm like, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
All right. See you, Mike.
All right. Let's hit Fred in the Borough. Fred, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man.
How you doing, Fred?
All right, man. Yeah, man. I talk about this Tannehill situation. I think Tannehill deserves the bulk of the blame. For one, we're paying Tannehill too much money for him to only be bringing the cranberry sauce to the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
All right. So he's too important to the team to only be bringing the cranberry sauce. He's not a rookie, so we can't be treating him as if he's a rookie. All he has to do is he can't do much. No, he's supposed to be doing a lot. But it was a lot of factors involved with the game. The coaching, the players were out, the special teams play, of course. But those interceptions took points off the board.
Yep.
And, you know, and that intentional ground at the end of the half took points off the board. So those plays that he made were not only costing us points, but putting them in a position to score.
Yeah, that was so weird.
So I believe Tannehill deserves the bulk of the blame for the game yesterday because he's a veteran. He's not a rookie. If the guys are new to the routes, don't be throwing timing routes.
That was weird, that grounding play, because he easily could have taken another couple of steps.
Point. Yep.
Easily could have taken another couple of steps and then fired it.
And then him saying he getting paid like that, I totally agree. You got to be able to – you got to go get us through a game like this. I ain't going to say you got to carry the franchise even though you're getting the bankroll, but games like this when it's up in there, you got to be able to go win. I agree with you.
Tannehill had never thrown four interceptions in a game. First one on 3rd and 6 at the Houston 18. I mean, you're taking points off the board. Mm-hmm. Texans got 3 points on that. Number two, on 1st and 10 at the Houston 25, again, taking points off the board to Fred's point. Number three, 3rd and 13 at the Tennessee 26. Texans get 3 there.
Yeah.
So that's 6. 3rd and 4 at the Houston 47. So, again, on the plus side of the field. 3 interceptions came in the second half, plus they got the 7 points off the fumble. So they got 13 points off turnovers, not to mention the drive stop with the turnover deep in Houston territory. So,
Fred?
Yeah, Fred in the Bird.
To Fred's point also, though, I mean, just because he's getting paid a lot to come to the Thanksgiving dinner don't mean that we need him to bring more than the cranberry sauce either, though. I'm just saying. Like, maybe he can't make turkey.
You just need all
who
the
told, Who told him to bring – who told him to get paid that much? We ain't got nothing to do with that. Like, he is right. Who he is.
Like, we wouldn't sign that contract.
Yeah, great job agent. Whoever his agent, terrific job. Like, Hey, man, he is who he is. Like, please don't tell him to bring more to the Thanksgiving dinner if he can't never, he ain't never
made
it. He
just needs to bring his friends.
So bring the people that you know that can cook.
That's it. We'll be right back. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
But they're gone.
HL 104.5 The Zone. Let's talk a little college football. Chris Lowe joins us from ESPN.com, national college football writer. Chris, let's just start with this. Dan Mullen out at Florida.
You pretty much called it last week, by the way.
You did. You broke the story also, so there's that. What kinds of names besides Billy Napier are you hearing out there?
Yeah, Billy Napier's going to be, you know, it's probably pretty good to be Billy Napier right now with a lot of the openings out there. I mean, I think it's not, I don't think we've seen the end of it. I think there's a few more coming when it's all said and done. But Napier makes a lot of sense there. I don't think Scott Strickland's going to hire him, but why not Lane Kiffin?
Could you imagine? You
look at what he's done in 2 years at Ole Miss, and he's an offensive guy. He's recruited in the state of Florida before. He's a guy that's not afraid to go toe to toe with anybody. Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, anybody. So yeah, he would be a guy. He would be on my list, but I don't know again that. Scott Strickland's going to go down that road. You know, maybe they
Chris, before you move past that,
go ahead.
Because people would look at it and say, okay, but look what he's done so far at Ole Miss. Give him another year or two to recruit and develop a defense. And then, holy cow, watch out. So people might, from the outside, might look and say, well, why would Lane Kiffin leave?
Well, and you're right, Dawn. I don't think Lane is looking to leave by any stretch of the imagination. But when Florida calls, or LSU, one of those top-tier jobs, anybody's going to listen. But he does lose Matt Corral, one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So they're starting over at that position. So it's going to be a tough third year. Now, I'm not saying they won't be pretty good or have a chance to go back to a bowl game, but it will be a harder third year at Ole Miss. And I do think once he's there and established, that he will be able to recruit and kids will want to come play in his system. And it is the SEC. I know for a fact that Lane loves coaching in the SEC. So if the Miami thing opens, and I think there's a good chance that may open too, then his name's going to pop up pretty prominently there in Coral Gables. But there is something to be said for coaching in the SEC for Lane Kiffin. And to stay on that topic, I don't think Ole Miss, well, I know Ole Miss is not just going to lie down and let him walk. They're going to they're pointing up pretty well to keep him.
Chris Lowe with us on ESPN.com. I know this might sound weird to some people, but I'm just curious. Any chance that Steve Spurrier is involved in all this? Not as the coach, but in terms of like where this is going and what happened and all those things?
No, I don't think he's – now, will he make his feelings known? Yes, but I don't think that Steve's going to be – it's just as much as he loves the Gators, as much as he loves being involved, I don't think this is one that he's going to jump in the middle of. Will he say who he thinks can call a few ball plays? Yeah, I'm sure he will, but I don't think this is going to be his call.
Another job that's open that people are saying actually might be filled is TCU. What are you hearing about that position and what's going on there?
Yeah, Dawn, I've always felt that was Sonny Dykes' job to turn down. I really did. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. He's right there in Texas. He's got great ties in that part of the world. His offense is, even though they've not played well the last couple of weeks, his offenses have been really productive. So that's unless there's some change, I think that's probably the way that the TCU will go with Sonny Dykes, who has you talk to people around the college football world, and they'll tell you that he's a guy that knows offensive football as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to something that you just kind of, subtly dropped in there. And in the beginning of our conversation, there might be a couple of more openings still to come at the end of the year. Where are you looking to, if somebody loses, that they might be making changes?
Well, I mentioned Miami. I think there's, at least a 50-50 shot that that job comes open. Arizona State is another one, Dawn, out in the Pac-12. Mm. I think there's a chance that that one will open. And then, over and above those two, maybe there'll be a surprise. Think of the domino effect because you got LSU open. You got Washington open. You got USC open. You got Florida now open. All these jobs. Virginia Tech is open. So it's people leave to fill those jobs, and the jobs are opening or leaving are opening. We mentioned Lane, so potentially Ole Miss. If Jimbo Fisher has a change of heart, decides he's going to take the LSU job, which I still think that LSU is going to go hard after him one more time before refocusing their search, so then A&M could potentially open. If Dave Aranda gets Washington or USC, then Baylor opens. If Matt Campbell gets, say, LSU or Washington, then Iowa State opens. And I think there's a chance, Dawn, another job that will hit close to your heart that could open is WDE. I think there's a chance Harsin may be in play at Washington potentially.
Ooh.
Wow. What about Lincoln Riley?
Doesn't Washington require the vaccine? I think there might be some – I don't know. That's a completely different conversation. But that was Washington State. That was Washington State. Yeah. Rolovich. Okay.
What about Lincoln Riley? A lot of people trying to put him in various positions.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Lincoln's one of those guys. If you're AD looking for the big splash type hire, a guy who's won at a high level and runs the kind of offense that all kids want to play in, then certainly he'd be the guy to call. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm Scott Woodward at LSU and I don't get Jimbo Fisher, then I would make a play. I mean, it's Scott Strickland in Florida. But everybody I've talked to at this point doesn't think that Lincoln Riley would be willing to move from Oklahoma. But, you know, you never say never. I mean, I think we start getting down to the best jobs in America, the LSU's a top five job. I really do. Florida is right there on the cusp, maybe six, maybe seven. But is Florida and or Oklahoma, excuse me, LSU significantly better than Oklahoma? Remember, Oklahoma's going to be moving to the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not like he's going to be in a different conference than either of those two schools. So I think that could certainly be a factor as well.
So I was looking at odds of next coaches for some of these jobs, and in the name that, of course, always pops up. Well, first of all, James Franklin and Lane Kiffin are always on everybody's list. But
everybody. But
then Bob Stoops, who's like the favorite right now for some of these job openings. And I feel like it happens every single year. But why does that keep happening? Does he just is there true interest there?
I'll start with James Franklin. I think James is on the cusp of re-signing at Penn State. I think if he does, and I think it's going to happen, he's going to get a really sweet deal. So I think maybe you could – I wouldn't scratch him off in 10 or the kind of pin you can't erase, but I think you're going to see him re-up at Penn State here pretty shortly. Bob Stoops Dawn is just a guy that everyone's going to have on their short list because he retired early. You know, he retired younger than most coaches do. He had so much success at Oklahoma. He's worked under so many great coaches, you know, Bill Snyder, Steve Spurrier, just a guy that's one of those can't-miss kind of coaches. And I think people say, all right, maybe he's got one other run in him. You know, I've talked to Bob over the years. I don't think that he really misses college football. He misses coaching, but I don't think he misses the things that go with college football, recruiting, and certainly now the transfer portal, you know, the 20-hour work week, compliance, all the things, you know, that have to, you know, as a head football coach at the collegiate ranks, you've got to manage. But I'll say this, if I'm Scott Strickland at Florida, absolutely, I call Bob Stoops and just to see if he's interested. I don't think he would be. I think if Bob's going to coach again, it might be in the professional ranks. Remember, he was coaching there for a while in that off-season pro league, and then that league folded.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him, and he just said, hey, this, the itch to coach again was there, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm not sure he wants to go coach in college football right now and all the different things that go with that.
Great stuff, Chris. It's that time of year, man. Appreciate you. At CeeLo ESPN. Check him out on ESPN.com.
Thanks,
thank you,
Mo.
Okay, see you guys.
All right, there he is, Chris Lowe. When we come back, we'll get more into the Titans debacle yesterday. 22-13 loss against the Texans. 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.